Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives, so please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning, America. Alex McFarland here. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Very honored to be sitting in for Jenna Ellis on the American Family Radio Network. And we've got a great show. We really do. I want to begin by giving a big shout out to Dinesh D'Souza, thanking him for speaking last night. We had an event last night, and some of you, if you've been listening to me on the radio, for really a couple of months, I've been promoting a speaker series we're doing in the summer called Conversations That Matter. And the first speaker, the kickoff, was last night, Dinesh D'Souza. And it was just amazing. We had near a capacity crowd in Myrtle Beach at the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater we had rented. And people came from as far away as Indiana. And Indiana to Myrtle Beach is a pretty long drive. And people came. Dinesh was amazing. You know, he and I have been friends for about 17 years. And he came on the scene 17 years ago. He wrote a book on apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith. A book responding to atheists like Richard Dawkins. And I booked him to speak and debate a lot of atheists. And it got to be where atheists wouldn't debate Dinesh because with his Ivy League education and his commitment to Christ, he was just so formidable. Nobody would debate him after a while. It got to be really funny because at first, atheists like Christopher Hitchens would debate Dinesh and then they wouldn't. And after, you know, COVID, he began to make movies and he wasn't on the speaking circuit as much as before. And that was kind of my situation as well. But I'm thrilled that he's traveling again. Now, get this. Dinesh D'Souza has written 15 books, three of which have hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And we had him last night, and he talked about not only America and our moral foundation and really how, yes, we are a country founded on biblical principles, though in many quarters we've deviated from that. But he talked about the fact that he's working on a film now on Bible prophecy, and he just got back a few days ago from Jerusalem and was out there visiting a lot of the places that I have visited, like the City of David and the Palace of King David, which overlooks the Kidron Valley. And by the way, incidentally, Tim Wildman and Bert Harper and our wives and Angie will be with us. We'll be going to Israel next March. By the way, if you want to go to Israel with us next March, we'll be going. And Tim Wildman, if you Google Wildman Tours, and Bert Harper and I of Exploring the Word, we'll be teaching at many, many, many biblical sites. But Dinesh was out there just a few days ago, and he's filming for a documentary he's making on the fulfillment of biblical prophecy and how it's just undeniable that the Bible is really true. And so anyway, we had a great night last night. I'll be posting clips of his speech and the Q&A. Hundreds of people were there and lined up to ask questions of just truly one of the greatest thinkers of our time. Just an incredible patriot and a defender of the Christian faith, Dinesh D'Souza. And I'll be posting clips on social media. But right now, you know, one of the subjects that he talked about, and it's very important to talk about, and, you know, in a way, you know, regardless what you think of Donald Trump, it's undeniable that he has been just a stalwart defender of religious freedom and of life, human life, and the Constitution. And our Constitution guarantees governmental protection for the right to life. You see, human life is an inalienable right. It's a right given from God. Now, inalienability, sometimes people say unalienable, inalienable. Those words are really synonymous, interchangeable. But what inalienable means is it's a right that can't be taken away. Now you say, well, somebody's life can be taken away. Yes, but not legitimately so. Unless it is national defense or self-defense, we don't have the right to take another person's life. And these immutable rights, in other words, they are unchangeable. They are present and are realities for all people. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Human trafficking is unjust and wrong because people have a God-given right to liberty. They should not be enslaved. And it was our Christian moral foundation that approximately 75 years into the country's existence, abolition of slavery took place. And the only other country that preceded us was Britain in 1806, and that too was because of the presence of Christianity in Great Britain. So it was the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, that led to the abolition of slavery, human rights. Now, human rights are a cause célèbre around the world, and you know, we hear about rights every day in the news, but it was the biblical worldview that gave America a country of rights and therefore great stability, great prosperity, great opportunity. Dinesh talked about that last night. But right now we're going to talk about it as well. And we're going to talk with a guest that I had the privilege of interviewing, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, Natasha Owens. Natasha, are you there?
Doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for holding and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I remember you and I first had a conversation. It was at least 6 months ago, and I do a lot of media. Maybe it was even 9 or 10 months ago. But for those that are not aware, and the website is natashaowensmusic.com, bring people up to speed with your singing, your recording, and what God is doing in your life.
Well, do you want me to go all the way back to the beginning of my story or just do it, the highlights of recent?
Give the recent highlights, then I want to do a kind of an in-depth look at your journey because it really is fascinating.
So I was in the contemporary Christian world. I have 7 albums out, and I veered into a secular world when I did a patriotic album back in 2020. The industry in Nashville is so progressive, so anti-Trump and anti-Republican conservative values that they frowned upon that. And on that particular CD, I had a song called Stand for Life. And you would think that the contemporary Christian world would stand behind me on a song like that, but it's actually what kicked me out of contemporary Christian. Radio stations boycotted me, artists boycotted me, promoters. They said I was too pro-life. I could offend someone just by opening my mouth and talking about the song. And I could not believe that I was supporting a genre of music that didn't stand up for life. And so we kind of swung into a secular world and started talking about topics that are too controversial or we weren't allowed to talk about it. I'm allowed to sing about it and covered under a different level of protections, the freedom of expression. So my husband said, let's just give them anthems to sing about it. And so we swung into a secular and political world hitting all kinds of topics. And that has brought me to a different world lately of not only singing for our president, but singing for presidents around the world. It's just given me a tremendous visibility and opportunity to a secular market that, and I get to bring Jesus to that market, which I love. People that wouldn't choose to go to church or listen to Christian music, I pull that in and tie it all together in a concert setting. So that's kind of what's been happening. We've hit topics that have gotten me death threats for the first time in my life. Gotten witches casting spells on me, atheists quoting scriptures to me. It has been a whirlwind, but it's been a very fun ride, and I know that God is with us and protecting us. He's brought us through so much in this season.
Wow. Hey, that's got to be, in an odd way, kind of gratifying that, I mean, when the witches and the atheists are, and the tepid, backslidden Christians are against you, you must be doing something right.
That's what my husband keeps saying. I released a song last year that was very controversial. The title was, but the actual message, we wrote the song to be very clear how I stood. And we had tens of thousands of atheists quote me scripture, and I was a little upset about it because the good guys, the conservatives, the Christians didn't show up. They weren't backing me. It was too controversial, and so they backed away very quickly. And my husband said, Tosh, when has a song ever caused tens of thousands of atheists to come out of the woodwork and quote scripture?
What scripture were... Bible verses were the atheists throwing at you?
Anything that talked about blasphemy or idolatry. I wrote a song about President Trump saying an imperfect man could be used by a perfect God. Throughout time, we've Amen. Seen this with King Cyrus and King David and even Esther and Ruth. I mean, everyone's imperfect except for God, but he's always seemed to guide and lead his people. And I felt that Trump had been called for such a time as this. This was 3 weeks before his assassination attempt. We wrote a song, very controversial, called The Chosen One, but I hit it right in the first verse. I'm not calling him the Messiah. I'm just saying he's imperfect, but a perfect God. However you feel about President Trump, we were a part of his faith initiative team his first term.
Me
he
too.
Has been the most pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-Christian president of our lifetime. And if that is not the work of Christ, I don't know what is. And so I doubled down and said, no, I support the platform that he stands on and his mission and exactly what he's doing. So I had atheists quoting me scripture, thinking that now we have a Christian who is a Trump supporter, who is a conservative, who's done something wrong. They're calling him the Messiah is what they thought. So I had a variety of scriptures that were completely taken out of context. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't know what they were talking about. But my husband said, as a Christian, we've done our job and planted that seed. He said, I don't know of that ever happening. And so I sat back and... you know, kind of smiled at, yeah, you're right. I got them to open up their Bible, tens of thousands of them. And of course, the witches came out, and that my brother-in-law said, Tosh, you took a topic like President Trump and you attached divinity to him or to that topic. And that's why the witches and the spiritual warfare really showed up on that song. But I doubled down on it, on the message, and 3 weeks later was his assassination attempt, and suddenly everybody was calling him, you know, if they weren't calling him a chosen one, they were calling him, you know, divine protection at that point.
Yeah. Wow. For those just tuning in, we're talking with Natasha Owens, a singer, a musician, songwriter, a public figure. And hey, is it true, and these are such rich topics I want to get into, is it true that one of your albums produced by a Grammy-nominated producer, Ian Eskelin?
Yeah. In fact, I have from album 3 to 7 has all been done by Ian Eskelin in Nashville.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's some, as we say down south, that's some high cotton. it's gotta be pretty gratifying. I want to talk about Donald Trump and the spiritual overtones present in our nation right now. But I'm just curious, at what age did you start singing, Natasha?
You know, I was a little girl. I come from a very musical family. My grandparents, cut records back in the day. My mom traveled on the road with them, but I struggled with severe anxiety. And so I've always been musical. I just always wanted to be in the background and never in the spotlight. And I tell you, God has a very funny sense of humor of getting someone out of their comfort zone.
Sure. Hey, hold that thought. We've got to take a brief break. Alex McFarland on the Jenna Ellis Show, the American Family Radio Network, with our guest, Natasha Owens. Hey, a brief break. And we'll probably take some phone calls as well. So stay tuned. Good morning, America. It's the Jenna Ellis Show. We'll be back.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Jenna Ellis, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Alex McFarland here. I'm very honored to be sitting in for Jenna, and very honored also to be talking with Natasha Owens. And by the way, my website is alexmcfarland.com. Last night we had Dinesh D'Souza in our speaker series, and he gave a great illustration, and I'll cue this up and segue back to my conversation with Natasha Owens. But he talked about the fact that a lot of the activists out there, whether they be left-wing woke activists, they have this passion, this driving passion that unifies them. And then there are Islamic activists and even Islamic terrorists. And he said the Islamic terrorists have the passion and the fervor of 7th century Muslims. But he said Christians don't have the fire very often of the people in the book of Acts. And Dinesh, and he is a Christian, he's a great scholar. I've known him 17 years. I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with his work, especially his great apologetics book, What's So Great About Christianity. But he said, we as Christians, Dinesh said last night to an audience from a number of states, he said, we are to have the fire and the passion and the commitment, the lay down your life ethic of the Christians in the book of Acts, really. Because what else is there? The Great Commission, the Lord Jesus, the future of our nation, the souls of people, the eternity of our neighbors all around us. And so those are great words to remind us that, listen, for the born again believer, truth, serving Jesus Christ, and winning the world, I mean, these are our callings. And somebody, I think, who shares that and has certainly invested herself to live it out, it's Natasha Owens, a great singer and songwriter. And hey, Natasha, for one thing, thanks for being with us this morning. And give your website again. Then I've got so many things I want to ask you, but give your website again, if you would, please.
It's NatashaOwensMusic.com.
So, hey, listen, no apologies. I love Donald Trump. I met Trump in 2015 for the first time, and I was on his faith board in that first administration. My Savior is Jesus, but I'm so grateful for a courageous constitutionalist. Donald Trump is not in anybody's hip pocket. He literally took a bullet for this nation. Anyway, I think you and I share the admiration and appreciation we have for our 47th president. It's got to be pretty gratifying when he posts your songs on social media, and he knows about the work that you do and has been on record affirming it. That's got to be pretty special.
It is special. I've had a lot of firsts with President Trump. I was the first one to do a concert on the lawn at Mar-a-Lago 3 years ago. And he sat on the very front row and proceeded to talk to me, give me comments about my songs as I sang them. Even this at all, it was an amazing night. And our first Trump song that we came out with in 2023 was called Trump Won. And it, that's what got me on the kind of the visibility with President Trump. Of course, it was a song by him. He loved it. And I was told as of recently that he still plays it every day on Air Force One, in the White House, at Trump Towers, and at Mar-a-Lago. He, everywhere he goes, he plays it, which is was an honor. But we put out a country song back in the fall that talked about the demasculation of men and that men can't have babies and the defense of the nuclear family, which God has created. And it's called Give Me a Cowboy, and I found out that that's his new favorite, and he's been playing that every day, which made me smile because that's the first song that he has liked of mine that I know of that is not about him, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay, I got to ask, what is Mar-a-Lago like? I've not been there. I know a bunch of people that have been there. So what's a visit to Mar-a-Lago like?
You know, it's in a neighborhood with these massive homes. It's right across from the ocean. You've got the ocean to one in the front and the canal in the back. And it's just this massive estate that I can't hardly even explain it. It's amazing. It's kind of a country club in the fact you have to have a private membership. And they have restaurants that you can bring guests. And they've got like 17 rooms that your guests can stay in if you are a member or if, you know, there's a function going on. We actually got to stay there one time, which was kind of cool. But there's a restaurant off the back that overlooks a swimming pool. So when you go to an event, they'll do a cocktail hour out by the swimming pool and the lawn, and you can see the canal to the ocean to the back of you. It's just beautiful, absolutely breathtaking. And then you go into a big ballroom that he actually built for his wedding reception to Melania.
Right.
It's a massive, I mean, it will seat probably 1,000 people. And, you know, it's decked out in typical what you would think of Trump, gold everywhere, just very Parisian. It feels a lot like Paris. You know, it's very,
sure.
The architecture's like Paris. But the staff is amazing, absolutely amazing. Everyone in Palm Beach that I've come in contact with, from, you know, hair cosmetologists, you know, that may do up my hair for a party there, or just the people in the restaurants, they all love President Trump. And they said he has such a servant's heart in Palm Beach. He will stop and help someone with a flat tire. Stop and help someone that's been involved in a wreck. If he hears of any needs around there, he'll write a check to send a child to college. Or it's just pretty amazing to hear some of their stories. But his staff at Mar-a-Lago love him and really respect him. I have sang at Mar-a-Lago like 21 times now in the past couple
wow.
years.
Wow.
And I got in a New York Times hit piece back last August talking about there were 130 people that had been to Mar-a-Lago more than three times since President Trump left. Of course, my face was right next to Cash Patel's, and our Texas attorney general, I'm from Texas, was right above me. So I didn't worry about it. I kind of blew it off and said, well, they want to waste that money on that investigation. They have the right to do that. And my friend said, Tosh, that's a hit piece. That's how they communicate. Watch your back. You'll have a three-letter agency on your tail. And sure enough, exactly 2 weeks later, we were wrapped up in an IRS audit. So there was I definitely felt from tech suppression to government weaponization before President Trump came in, we felt the wrath of that. And I'm thankful that he's in there, and hopefully he's making that wrong right and de-escalating and de-weaponizing the government against the American people. It sure
yeah.
didn't feel good to be in that hot seat.
Just curious here, because I'm a big music guy myself. Did you meet Christopher Macchio, the tenor who often sings for President Trump?
You know, I've been at the same functions with him, but I have never had the privilege to meet him. They say he's just a great man.
He really is. We've had him on the radio several times. You know, it was funny. I was very blessed last summer to be at the Republican convention in Milwaukee, and he sang. Charlie Kirk and I actually spoke to teenagers. There were a number of teenagers, many of whom were the kids of some of the delegates. And so Charlie Kirk and I spoke about biblical worldview to like 300 teenagers. And anyway, Christopher Macchio sang at the end of the RNC, and he sang this very famous operatic song, Nessus Dorma, which means I will not rest until, basically it means I will not rest until the job is done. Nessus Dorma, the necessity of dormancy, sleeping, but I cannot sleep until the job is done. That's basically what this song means. Anyway, yeah. So I met him. He sang, and it was just pretty amazing. And so, like so many, like yourself, so many of the people that have come along in this are just like ordinary Americans. And he told me the story that, and I said, listen, I want to interview you on the radio. Trump was having a function, and I think Elton John was supposed to come and do some music, and he couldn't make it or something. And somehow a friend of a friend said, well, I know this opera singer, Christopher Macchio. And so Christopher Macchio told me, he said, like, I got a phone call, and 3 hours later, I'm on a plane to Mar-a-Lago, I'm doing a two-hour set for dinner guests. And he's been, as they say, Trump's tenor ever since. And he sang, of course, January 20th at the inauguration. But just one of those sovereignty of God things, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. We were at when he was singing, the balloons were coming from the ceiling, and it was just a, I don't know, very surreal and powerful moment. Mary Milben also sings for President Trump. She sang the Star Spangled Banner that night, and I'm really good friends with her. We crossed paths at Mar-a-Lago and have just stayed in touch. She's the one that told me that President Trump, what he's playing on the plane, because she travels with him often.
Mm-hmm. So let me talk to you about courage, Natasha, because, okay, I've been very blessed to write a few Christian books and on biblical worldview and defending the faith. So it was 3 years ago. I was at a function that we go to called NRB, National Religious Broadcasters. Do you go right to that conference ever? NRB.
I used to. I've crossed paths with it in my Christian music days.
Yeah. So this publisher came up to me and they said, Alex McFarland, you're on AFR. I want your next book. It doesn't matter what it is. If you'll write a book, we're going to publish it. And folks, this is, I don't want to trash them. I guarantee everybody would know this publisher. It's a very overtly Christian publisher. And I said, really? They said, look, doesn't matter what it is, any topic, we want your next book. I said, super, great. So I spent about 10 months and I wrote a book, basically a book on revival and how really the hope for our nation is repentance from sin, turn to Christ. Right. We need revival. We need preachers to preach the gospel, get saved, turn to Jesus. We need to stop killing babies. Murder yeah. is a sin. And it was, as far as I could tell, very scholarly, academic, but passionate yeah. book about, you know, living for Jesus. And the publisher got it and they said, we can't publish this. This is a Christian publisher. And I said, why not? I mean, it's orthodox, it's biblical. Let's get saved and get going, you know? And they were. Right. I said, now you guys told me, and I had a contract, and they said, look, we're sorry. They came back to me. They said, can you write something that's like inspirational and uplifting? Write a motivational book, but not a book about revival. And the big yeah. problem, I had the word revival in the title. Long story short, when I took it to some of the secular publishers like HarperCollins, they were like, yeah, absolutely. So we're, believe it or not, my book on national revival, we're in the talks right now. So I'm not going to release it this year because Bert Harper and I of Exploring the Word, Bert and I have a prophecy book coming out in the fall, 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy. But I guess my point is, I, in the publishing world, experienced, I think, what you found in the musical world, that oddly enough, the Christian content producers are not always comfortable with Christian content.
That's right, and they're diluting it. You have some that are so afraid to speak truth, and speaking truth is love, right? We have to tell them the truth, and we have to stand on the Bible. And people are just astonished that the industry of contemporary Christian wouldn't stand up for life and boycotted me and all that. Same with you. Christians are not ready to be persecuted or not loved right now. And they think that they can just straddle the fence and be neutral and tolerant on these topics. And the church needs to wake up. We need to stand on principles. But, you know, I think the enemy is infiltrated on every level and in powerful positions, too. For instance, you know, because I can only speak for a contemporary Christian, the two radio promoters that brings music and determines what you hear in that top 10 on the Christian stations. One of them is a lesbian with a wife, and the other one has trans children, and they're very progressive in their views. And so anything that is brought to radio that is too much Jesus in it, they want it diluted. So the enemy has been very smart on this ground game of infiltrating into powerful positions in order to try to muzzle the church. And if that doesn't tell you that we're in a time of spiritual warfare, I don't know what is. It's exactly. Not about left and right, Republican, Democrat. This is a battle between up and down, between good and evil. And I tell you, the devil is out for our children, for sure.
He really is. And let me say, even last night with Dinesh D'Souza, Dinesh was talking about woke seminaries that produce preachers that really won't get in a pulpit and speak hard truth. We're going to take some calls. Natasha Owens is our guest here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Alex McFarland, very honored to be with you on the American Family Radio Network. A brief break. Hey, the number, if you have a question for Natasha, you want to weigh in on the conversation, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're back after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, very, very honored to be sitting in for Jenna Ellis this morning. Hey, by the way, you know, we do so much with young people, teenagers. For 25 years, we've done summer youth camps, and 2025 is no exception. The website for our summer camps, and we have do all the fun camp stuff, the hikes, the zip lines, all that great stuff. But we do biblical worldview. We talk to kids about Jesus, and we talk to kids about being a citizen and taking your Christian worldview everywhere into every realm of life. The website for our summer camps is equipretreat.org, equipretreat.org. And one of the last camps we'll be doing this summer is in the Virginia area, Richmond, Virginia. There's a camp we've rented. It's called Camp Pienka Tank. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But it's a beautiful, just exquisitely beautiful facility run. I think it's run by the Virginia Baptist. I toured this camp last summer. We promptly rented it. And so Virginia is new to us. So check out the website, and whether it's middle schoolers or high schoolers, like last year we had about 185 kids pray to accept Christ. And many of the kids that come to our summer, we talk about apologetics, biblical worldview, and the kids love it. I mean, kids come 2 and 3 and 4 years, and so you will not be disappointed. And I say to parents regarding Christian Biblical Worldview Summer Camp, invest a week that will count for a lifetime. So if you would, please pray for our camps. We've got a lot going on. And of course, Bert Harper and I, by the way, today on Exploring the Word at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern time, brand new study. Today we begin the book of Romans. So it's a great time to plug in and enjoy all the great content on the American Family Radio Network. And I would be very pleased if Exploring the Word would be part of your afternoon listening. Well, just so grateful for Natasha Owens. She's a musician. She's a courageous Christian voice in the public sphere, and we're grateful for her. Hey, Natasha, can we take some calls and talk to some listeners? You okay with that?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
We're going to start in Texas, one of my favorite places. And Matthew in Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Jenna Ellis in the Morning program.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. And thanks, Natasha, for sharing what you have this morning. I guess my question was, just going back to what you're saying about some of the spiritual corruption in the Christian music world these days, are you aware of like any effort to maybe kind of put in some kind of like creedal statement that musicians and artists would have to adhere to make sure that heretical ideas like God not needing heaven without, or God needing us to make heaven complete, would be kind of kept off of the radio and kept out of, you know, our churches?
I'm not aware of any kind of statement that people were having to sign to do that. So no, but I haven't been in the Christian music scene for a while. I would love for them to sign something that says that they will stand on a biblical platform and speak truth, but that definitely wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's really a great idea, and it would be nice, wouldn't it, if biblical orthodoxy everybody agreed to, you know. Natasha, do you find some of the lyrics that are kind of more like motivational speaking and self-help rather than worship of Jesus? Do you find some of the lyrics and some of the contemporary songs are kind of cringy?
They are, and they all kind of sound the same. Like I said, you know, they don't mess with the worship music too much because worship already, and they can't mess with it. But when it comes to their songs, they want it to live down. They want it to come on.
Hey, forgive me. You kind of broke up a little bit. Say that again, if you don't mind. You kind of broke up.
I said that the industry itself, whereas the non-worship, regular contemporary Christian songs, they want it diluted down to where it points to a higher power without really naming God or Jesus. It's very, very diluted. And I have some friends that are on the top of the charts in contemporary Christians, and they're getting pretty fed up. They said, we're to the point where we're fisting the rear up and start bucking this system. And I said, you have the power to do it, to really make change. And so I've encouraged them to do that, because it's pretty sad when we have to dilute it down to where people don't really know we're talking or singing about God.
Yeah, and let me just say, one of the reasons that I thank God, I thank the Lord every day. I promise you folks, every single day I thank the Lord for the American Family Radio Network, because I, on AFR, can preach the full counsel of God. And Bert Harper and I, on Exploring the Word, we can preach every verse of this book, God's Holy Bible. And AFR and President Tim Wildman, They have us on because we do preach the Bible. Natasha, believe it or not, I've got friends that are, you know, they preach and they are radio Bible teachers on certain networks. I'm not going to name names, but if you preach about the blood of Jesus, if you preach about, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, homosexuality is a sin, those programs on certain other Christian networks will not get aired. Isn't that just crazy?
It's crazy, but it's happening. It's happening.
I know. And you know, that's one of the great things that I love about AFA. And I hope everybody knows this, that myself as an evangelist, we will never, never, never go woke. Never. Not going to happen. I mean, as long as we're drawing breath and in the land of the living, we're going to love Jesus and proclaim his word in its entirety. And I know you do that as well. And we've got to be that way. I mean, we've got to do that. Because
we live in a world that's just teaching the Bible.
Hey, say that again. I want to hear what you said. Okay. You broke up. So,
Sorry.
No sweat. Repeat.
I said that just preaching the Bible today is controversial. And, I have preachers say, I don't preach politics from the pulpit. And I said, well, you kind of do because you preach the Bible. That it is veered into that lane at this moment. So anything that the church is preaching is controversial, and we can't be afraid of talking about that.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Don in West Virginia. Don, thank you for holding, and welcome to our conversation with Natasha Owens.
Thank you very much for having me. I wanted to mention Michael Card. I'm not sure you're familiar with him, but he also did not do the Christian musical scene for many years because of all the controversy associated with it.
You know, it was my privilege. We were at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, probably about 5 years ago, and Bert Harper and I interviewed Michael Card. And Natasha, do you remember that great song, El Shaddai?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Michael Card wrote that. And, that is one of the greatest songs because it's all these names of Jesus from Scripture, Adonai, El Shaddai. But... So, Don in West Virginia, Michael Card pulled out of the CCM scene. I wasn't aware of that.
He's written over 450 songs, but they all come out of his Bible study. He's worked with several different translations of the Bible and is a scholar, but he wrote his songs to do those 3 or 4 minute messages that people will hear quicker sometimes than a sermon.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's
Natasha,
good to know that I'm in good company.
Indeed. Thank you. Yeah, I love Michael Card's work, and his lyrics are steeped in Bible, as great worship music should be. Hey, let's go to Tennessee. Ron in Tennessee. Ron, thank you for holding. Welcome to our conversation with Natasha Owens.
Hi. I just had a quick question for Natasha. When you're a musician... and you're trying to get into publishing your music, it doesn't seem like there's any industry left, and people keep to this day talking about, I'm going to try to get signed, I'm trying to get a published deal, I'm trying to, maybe a record company will see me. And could you explain in some detail why there's no more music publishing or record companies left anymore? I mean, it must be about 22 or more years now since Warner Brothers was purchased. Their whole consortium was purchased by was it a Westerman company called the Orchard? So if you sign with the Orchard, then you're basically giving away your music to be streamed on Spotify and other platforms, and you're getting pennies from what you would get back in the day.
Yeah, it's sad. It's completely crippled every genre of music. It's hit Christian more than anything because even though Christian music is the second largest genre of music, we make the least amount of money. And so, but if you got a song in the top 10 back in the day, you could, live a great life and maybe retire or just be a songwriter and don't have to get a second job. Everything changed in the market when Spotify and all the streaming platforms came into play. Taylor Swift was the first one to boycott that in her genre. She was in country at the time because, if someone purchased a million downloads, like on iTunes, the songwriter would get close to $1 million. With the streaming, it's diluted so much because to the consumer, they provide a great service to the consumer for $10 a month or whatever it is. They get access to millions of songs. But in essence, they're kind of stealing those songs because a million streams on Spotify would only give the songwriter $70. So when that happened, yeah, it's that much of a divide. When that happened, all of the heads of all these Christian music labels were fired and let go, and they brought in heads of secular music markets to try to figure out how to make money, right? It's all about money and how to save the music with this new streaming thing that was out. And that's when everything started to change because the dynamics inside the industry of contemporary Christian turned very worldly and, you know, corrupt. And that has been going on for a couple decades now. Now, as artists, we were allowed in the very beginning to boycott and not check the box to allow our music to be on Spotify. Now they give you no choice. In order to distribute your music digitally, which is where most of the people get their music these days, you're forced to do it. You have to check that box that says I allow, or they will not allow you to put it on anything, any digital platform. Nobody would be able to get your music except for hard copy. So we're forced to do it. And, you know, I understand it's a great thing for the consumer, but they've completely, they're raping and stealing the music. And in the contemporary Christian world, I don't know of a songwriter, you know, yet that doesn't have a second job that isn't doing something else to try to make ends meet. But they still have record labels in the contemporary Christian genre, but like I said, they've been turned to worldly view. It's all about making money and shying away from gutting out anything that is Christian. And so it's not right.
Yeah. And you know, Natasha, I mean, I've noticed this, secular or Christian, somebody will come out with a new, we say a record, but it's not records like it used to be. But it, I mean, it's on YouTube the very day it's released, and anybody can listen to everything on YouTube. I mean, for the musicians like yourself, I mean, you've got to tour to make a living, don't you? Because the money is not in record sales.
Not anymore. And you've got a tour and you've got to do merch tables. And when you have an artist, you know, I'm a songwriter on almost all of my music. So, but you have artists out there that don't write at all. And so then they don't get any kind of royalties, anything from the sale of that music. They have to get it from speaking events, singing events, and their merch table, right? But these record labels take everything. We actually own a record label in Nashville with Ian Eskelin and have, you know, 10 artists underneath us trying to do something different where they can have actual voice in their music. So many times we would write music and the record labels would say, no, that's not going to see the light of day. Right. So the only time you're able to have a voice in an industry like that is being an independent artist or being underneath a label such as ours that we won't put a muzzle on you. Right.
It's right. Like that in writing as well. But hey, listen to this. I think this might make you smile. You know, the arts really came out of the church. I mean, really by the Middle Ages. Literacy and learning and the arts came out of the church. I was at a major music store getting some cables for the radio, and the guy was telling me, he said, look, if it wasn't for praise bands, and this guy was not a Christian, but it was a major chain retailer of music stuff. He said, if it wasn't for Christian praise bands, we'd be out of business. He said, it's the praise bands that are really teaching musicianship. Natasha Owens, you're a great American. Give us your website one last time before we run out of time.
NatashaOwensMusic.com.
Great to be with you. May God bless you. Hey, folks, Alex McFarland. I'll be back on Exploring the Word at 3 p.m. Central. Keep your radio tuned to AFR and tell somebody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.